Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This wouldn't be fun to deal with.
Oh.
It'd be downright scary. Mm. But would this happening to you on the road be enough to make this phone call? Because according to allegations, there's a man in our area who's in some serious trouble this morning. But he had to believe, if the allegations are true, that what he was doing wasn't that big a deal.
Okay.
And no one was going to do anything to him after what he allegedly did. You hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. A man from Webster has been arrested after an alleged incident in the town of Ontario.
What'd he do?
Police say the man, who looks to be in his late 30s, early 40s, was driving in the area of Ridge Road and Route 350.
Okay.
Authorities say, bless you, Kimmy, the man, threw an object out of his moving car. Don't know.
Yeah.
Which then struck the window of a victim's car.
Oh, Jesus.
That was also moving. According to police, the damage to the victim's car was in excess of $1,500.
All right.
Oops.
Yeah.
Now, the Webster man was arrested, charged with criminal mischief. He was taken to the Wayne County Jail for arraignment. He has a court date coming up. So you threw out littering, and I guess that's possible.
So they're not saying this was intentional.
We don't know, because this also sounds like it could have been a road rage incident.
Okay.
Right?
Just throw whatever you got at somebody.
Yeah, Kimmy, there's nothing in the report that says anything happened before the alleged tossing, but what could someone, Tommy, chuck out their car window not in anger that could cause that kind of damage?
Yeah, I'm trying to think but not intentional.
Yeah, like what's the heaviest piece of litter you could throw out a window that
it
would cause...
like a water bottle full of something could probably do some damage. Like an old water bottle sitting there.
Not like a plastic one.
No, but like those Stanley looking things.
Oh, no, I wasn't tired. Those seem too expensive to throw out the window.
But let's say you had an old one in your car and just, not aced.
Wait a minute.
Some junk out of
in your head, this person notices an old Stanley water bottle while driving down Ridge Road, right? 104 there. And they go, you know what? I don't need this anymore. Now's the perfect time to dispose of it. While moving on the road, allow me to take this metal water bottle and chuck it out. Right, oh, no, what have I done?
Maybe like an empty glass bottle of some sort.
All right.
$1,500 damage, though? I mean, what's a windshield cost? That sounds like a windshield, right?
Yeah.
I guess.
All right. So here's the thing. Road rage, if that's what this is, isn't a shocking story.
No.
You see it on a regular basis, road, greater Rochester area.
Weird weapons come out.
Bingo. But what could be the most surprising part of the story, if it is road rage, is the cops getting called. Pop quiz, Tommy.
Yeah, what?
There's an incident on the road. Your ticket-collecting jet ass has pissed someone else off driving. Mm-hmm. That person, for whatever reason, chucks something out of their car, and it hits yours.
On purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you calling the cops?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Because I'm a victim here, and it's going to cost me a bunch of money.
Okay. Kimmy, are you?
Yeah, probably. Okay. When it comes to damage to my car,
then you're a danger to society.
So you're both snitches, is what you're saying.
Oh, I'm super snitch.
No, yeah, this is
semi snitch right here.
This does not line up with any take you've ever had because you're Mr. Don't call the cops for anything.
Right, but
it's the Sicilian in you.
But if I have to now take it in to make repairs,
yeah, and I gotta explain this to my wife. Hey, yeah, you're going to jail.
Don't you have
to? You're going to jail. Hey, Buster Brown, are you done?
I'm driving to Auburn.
Don't you have to though for insurance purposes?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it would depend on the damage that was done. And you're right. You're right. But there are some issues with calling the police in a situation like this. And look, I'm not encouraging people not to call the cops because you're right. I agree with you. We're all three in agreement. You call the cops in a situation like this, right? Now, we are not a victim-blaming show. Mm. And there is nothing in this story with the details we have of this man from Webster allegedly chucking something out the window of his moving car at another moving car that caused $1,500 worth of damage to this victim. There is nothing that suggests in the story the victim deserved what happened. That being said, road rage incidents are rarely a one-sided affair.
Well, usually it escalates from a misunderstanding.
And both of the parties do something inappropriate that would lead to an eventual end. If you call the cops, even with the damage to your car, that other person is going to give their side of the story.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And your biggest concern could be, did I do something along the way to get me in trouble as well?
To start this.
Yeah. Well, or start or along the way, whatever it is. Because
involvement.
You could have your car damaged and sit there and be like, oh, now you've done it. But what have you done that led up to that car being damaged? I mean, at minimum, you would have to consider how embarrassed am I going to be when the other person starts recounting the things I may have done or said to this police officer that I called. That wouldn't concern you at all.
But you hit my car. So in the end, I'm going to win this argument.
Okay, but it's not about winning an argument.
Oh, it's always about it. Because I mean, I'm going to be in the right here because I didn't throw anything at you.
You know what he's doing.
What?
You know, we've talked on the show before, Kimmy, about how every guy in the neighborhood that calls 911, no matter whether or not they did something wrong, will stand there and wait for the cops to get there because they're going, well, the cops are obviously going to say it my way. Yeah. Like, in your head, you've done no wrong.
Side and one side only.
Exactly. I'm the good guy here.
Okay, and you may be. It's going to be up to the cops.
I'm Johnny Good right here.
Johnny Good?
Yeah.
You forgot the beat. There's a song.
Oh, yeah. Really? I never heard it.
Okay. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. How little would the damage have to be where you'd let it go?
To my car.
Because there was $1,500 here. Let's say it was a $500 bill. Would you let it go?
It depends on what it looks like on the car, too. Like, if every day I walk out, I go, God damn it,
then you see the dent.
Like, it's right there.
I don't know what damage you wouldn't see.
Right.
Let's say this guy chucks something out of in our hypothetical situation, guy chucks something out of the window, smashes your headlight.
That's like $400.
That's not fine. So $400 is enough?
Yeah.
You need to borrow money?
Yeah. Yeah, I would take money.
Kimmy, how much would the damage have to be where you're definitely calling the cops?
I mean, I would think any damage. Because I don't know. I don't know. For me, I mean, I did it in my car's a lease, so I'm going to have to get it. I'm going to pay for it eventually, whatever the damage is.
But you own your car. Sorry. Your wife owns your car. Scratch on the car. You calling the cops?
Just a scratch?
Big one, though.
Like let's say, they open their door and scratch up the side of your car. They want to tell you what you did wrong.
Let me tell you something, mister.
probably.
You're such a sissy-ass bitch.
Well, why are you scratching my car?
Why are you running your mouth? I know you. You're always running your mouth.
Well, run your mouth. You got to hurt people.
Speeding through the Freddie Sue Bridge, you're running your mouth. You're a danger out there on four wheels. You know, the other thing to think about here.
What's that?
In this situation, the object tossed out of the car, according to the allegations, leads to charges for this man when it damages the other car. In a road rage scenario, would an object tossed out of a car diffuse or escalate the average situation?
I'm going to say escalate.
You're going to say it escalates. Kimmy,
because you're chucking stuff at me.
Kimmy, are you saying diffuse or escalates?
How would it diffuse?
Here's why. Road rage has a funny way of not feeling real when it's happening.
Like you're shocked? It would de-escalate because you're so shocked in the moment you don't do anything?
Well, like when you're going back and forth with someone in a road rage incident with its fingers or yelling or speeding up or cutting each other off, you're encased in your vehicle. You have no one in that car to tell you you're wrong.
Yeah, you're by yourself.
Huh? Yeah, it's almost like you're participating in a movie where you can't imagine something going horrifically wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Something chucked at your car and damaging it would be almost an immediate reality check.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Is that, that could cause some people to come to their senses and back off. That could also push some people to further get revenge to show this other person, I am not to be effed with.
Yeah.
Which one are you?
So...
If you, that thing
if
hits
you hit my, I've, yeah, I'm going to escalate. Oh. I'm going to call a cop. I'm going to.
Well, I would argue calling the cops is diffusing the situation.
Oh, I would call a cop.
Okay, all so right. you're
I'm,
done.
I'm a diffuser.
You're done chasing. You're
oh,
done.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
yes,
gotcha.
Absolutely.
So you're a bitch.
Yes.
So he wins.
Yes. He's not going to win anything.
No, he won. I mean, because yeah, sure, he's going to get his ticket and his fine and whatever.
And
it's
you're
fine.
Lose your
yeah.
job.
But
and you're going to lose your house.
How are you going to lose your job and house? It's a $1,500 bill.
Criminal.
So he won.
No, he didn't.
Hello, hello, Ted. This is Tattle Tommy. I got someone hit my car.
I kind of like that.
Tattle Tommy on the line here. He hit my
car.
Well,
he's the youngest child. He probably had that nickname at one point in his life.
So what are you doing? So what are you doing? You going to chase the guy down?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Because well, I also want to be a chattel, but now I just man-shaped somebody. I don't know what to do.
You know that there are some guys, though, that are so ready for this to happen that they have a line already in their head of what they're going to say when they get out of their car. Like, hey, Buster.
Yep, yep.
What'd you just throw at me? I'm going to give you a knuckle sandwich.
Knuckle sandwich.
Tommy's got that
and
line.
It's going to be the nerdiest line ever.
You're
but.
Right. And you're not going to deliver it the right way because no. you got so much adrenaline. Tommy's got that line.
What's that?
Hey, I just called a man to take care of it. You're in so much trouble when
You'll
he gets here.
You'll be hearing from my
cop.
Lawyers.
Might be a lady cop.
Kimmy?
Yeah.
Does the object hitting your car diffuse or escalate the situation?
I think I'd get scared.
Okay.
I think I would. Yeah, I'm definitely not getting out of my car because I don't know what's coming next.
Yeah, you should never get out of your car.
Look, to answer your question from earlier, would it diffuse?
Yeah.
I would like to say that I am going to pull over and call the cops because that is the right thing to do. That is the right thing to do. But, you know, it takes a lot to get me mad. But if I get mad, I can't promise that I wouldn't want to run this guy down and get him out of the car.
Well, I'm sure everybody feels that. You got to fight that feeling.
I don't know if I can't fight that feeling anymore. I've forgotten what I started fighting for. Give me no idea what's
happening. So I had a mother-in-law. And
he's had three of them, actually.
Yes. And she was a road rager.
Okay.
Like, you could, and yeah, man, she would, like, she would use her car almost as a weapon.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah. Like, she was driving us to the airport one time, and somebody just, you know, lane changed. Like, she whipped that wheel around, man. I was like, holy Christ, man. I'm going to miss a flight and go to jail.
No, I mean, that to me is the craziest bit of road rage, because every once in a while, you'll see someone, like, swerving it out of their lane.
She did that.
What do you, what's the best case scenario?
I have no idea. I know, yeah, and it's me, her husband, her daughter. We're all in the car. They're dropping us up there, doing us a solid, you know. And all of a sudden, I'm like, holy Christ, man, this could go really bad.
Because, like, worst case scenario, you both go off the road in an accident that goes terribly.
Yeah.
Best case scenario, you hit that other person.
Yeah.
You still have to call the cops because now there's been an accident. Oh, yeah.
I know.
You know what's funny, too, is we're talking about being the victim. The guy who allegedly chucked the object in this story is also playing with fire here because the cops getting called and him being arrested may have been the best case scenario for him.
Yeah.
Outside of that person backing down, which would be a rare occurrence, excuse me, the other options he's looking at is getting run off the road, like you said, or having a gun pointed at him.
Yeah.
And that last one happens way more often than we want to imagine in road rage incidents. And those are just the ones where people call the cops for them.
Right. Well, thank God nobody in Ontario has a gun.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There is a local man who has a chance to get rich.
Damn.
And he can do it.
Yeah.
Using his brain.
Ooh.
We're not talking a business idea.
Yeah.
There's actually more at stake than just a business idea. Because this man will hang it all out there to show that he is smarter than everyone else.
Sharp guy.
Or not, on national television. You're hanging out at the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Set your DVRs. Because this week, someone from here in town is going to be on Jeopardy.
Wow.
David Bond, a lifelong resident of Henrietta, according to News 8, will appear. I'm sorry?
I said, oh,
okay.
your town,
yep.
Your hometown.
Well, not my, Gates is my hometown. Oh. I am a transplant of Henrietta. Yeah. But he will appear on the legendary game show. According to News 8, he also recently retired from RIT.
Oh, okay. So he's a sharp guy.
Well, he could have been a janitor. I don't know. He's obviously sharp. He made Jeopardy.
Yeah. Professor.
No, but it doesn't
Professor
say.
Professor Sower.
We don't know what he. Bro, there are people that are smart that have all kinds of jobs.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
None of this business.
Well, yeah, I hear smart school. I'm thinking he taught.
I guess we'll never know. Now, Jeopardy is a tall order. It's the most stress-inducing of all of the game shows. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, because you only know certain lanes, right? But there's always going to be, like, art and history.
And you're betting on yourself. Like, when you are taking a risk, you're betting on yourself to know something, right?
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, the certain lanes, and we'll get to the topics and stuff in a second. There are people, when you watch Jeopardy, that have knowledge of all of it.
Yeah.
How?
That's that weirdo guy or woman that studied everything.
No, but I mean, I guess there are some people that studied everything. There are also some people where stuff just sticks in their brain.
Photographic memory.
Like, it's astonishing to me when you'll watch someone like run through like four or five categories. How do you know all of these things?
From like geography to literature, you know what I mean? To your point. Like, usually, like, maybe you take an interest in one or two of those things, but to have like that much stuffed in your head of all those categories is nuts.
So, like, with the rest of the game shows you see, like, nationally the famous ones, they take a little bit of skill, but they more have to do with luck. Like, The Price is Right, mostly luck.
Yeah.
Wheel of Fortune, there's a little bit of skill, but mostly luck. You can back your way into wins money.
Mm-hmm.
With Jeopardy, there is no way to accidentally win. And if you don't know your crap, it is easy to be embarrassed in front of a full country. I almost cursed.
Mm.
You can make the argument that it takes the most balls to go on Jeopardy over any other game show in America.
Well, yeah, because the other ones you can get close to the right answer, but Jeopardy, you have to have the exact answer.
And you have to answer it in the form of a question.
Yeah.
And even sometimes if you pronounce things wrong, they'll take away your points.
Yeah. They're and also, then you kind of bet against yourself at the end, right? Because then you put up all your money or part of your money
whatever you think
for
you,
Final Jeopardy.
You got
right?
it, and all you get is a category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're also kind of mean when you get it wrong.
Oh, you bet it all. So sad.
Even when you're answering the simple questions, like in a day, no. They just say no. Like, not like a gentle, like, ooh, I'm sorry. Is this? No. Do either of you have the stones to go on Jeopardy?
No.
Well, no, let's say you were offered a spot today, no strings attached. All you'd have to do is go on TV and get it give it a run. Keep in mind, you would be leaving with some kind of money. Everybody wins something.
You do.
What, $1,000?
Yeah, I think
in last place. I think it's like 2,000, then 1,000 for the second.
I think you're right. Let's Google it just to make sure what you'd be walking away with, right?
I also had that fear of knowing the answer, but being in a panic because I'm on TV and it's timed. And I would be there, and I couldn't get it out.
All right, so I just
like I would freeze.
Or you mispronounce something so bad.
I'm just thinking I freeze. I can't even say that it's like there, and I can't get it out.
All right, the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I just want to be clear with what you just said.
Mm.
Now, I've known you a long time.
Yeah.
People listening to you, a lot of them have listened to you for over 30 years,
right?
Your biggest fear on Jeopardy is that you would know the answer, but freeze.
Because you know, I know. Look, I explained. Listen, I knew Burl Ives this morning was born in Russia.
No, he
had no idea.
We found out he wasn't. He was born in Illinois.
Yeah. But he was a Red.
Well, he was accused of being a Red.
And they were Red.
By the way,
when I see one.
Why don't we forget the laws of this communist country?
But you know, like everybody, when you watch Jeopardy, go like, well, I know that category. It's like you would have a category. I would have one. Kimmy would have one.
And hopefully that category shows up. But if it doesn't.
But even when you look at the board, you kind of think I got that one.
Bro.
Like if it's TV, movies, most people think they can nail those categories. Sports.
Okay, but they also ask the question in a creative way where your brain actually has to work to get
and
the
answer.
And
that's where it screws you.
So, yeah, so you don't know the answer.
I know it if you would have said it right.
Kimmy, what's third place for Jeopardy?
Third place is $1,000.
Okay. Right. So
base minimum, I get a grand.
At minimum, you're going out with $1,000, but you'd also know everyone that you know on a daily basis, is going to watch you.
How about the watch party?
Why are you laughing at yourself failing? I knew all the answers. I just froze.
All your whole family's sitting there. It's like draft day.
Would you guys, either of you guys, have the stones to hang out there for at minimum $1,000?
Yeah, now what do I care?
Okay.
I mean, I guess you could just go there and not answer anything.
Oh, that makes you look like such a puss,
I know,
though.
But I think that's almost more embarrassing.
So
something about my button's not working.
What sucks the most about Jeopardy,
as
we talk about this guy, David Bond of Henrietta, lifelong resident, just retired from RIT, he will be on the show Thursday night. It makes really smart people look really dumb in comparison to other really smart people.
Yeah. Because yeah, especially if they get it wrong and the next two people are like buzzing quicker. And,
yeah, oh, you're right.
They just, yeah, now you just look like a, oh, they both knew it.
But like, as you guys brought up all the categories, right? Like history, art, science, pop culture, literature, sports, geography. You need your brain to decipher those like word puzzle questions they throw at you. And there is an extensive testing program you have to get through before you even come close to getting on actual television. Like, they don't just let idiots on this show. But for every stupid question you get wrong, it makes you look so stupid. And the stupid questions aren't even stupid. They're still hard-ass questions. Yeah.
That's why the only show I'd feel confident going on would be Family Feud.
Well, you could also...
You would fail miserably.
And yes. By the way, you could embarrass yourself in that one, too.
But I get to meet Steve Harvey.
I wonder what he's doing right now.
You also have the potential of looking bad if you say, like, the wrong historical figure. You know what I mean? Like, let's say they ask something like, who was the first African-American to fill in the blank? And then you say, like, a different black guy.
Oh, you know she's absolutely right about that.
Because I've seen that happen. Yeah. I'm like, ooh, I know you didn't intend for that to look racist, but it kind of sounded like it, you know?
Yeah, Chris Rock would be my go-to answer.
God's sakes.
I know.
You know, despite all that, everything we just brought up, the chance of that money and the clout that would come with maybe being successful, I think would be worth the risk.
Oh. Right.
I'm a really good Jeopardy player.
What clout are you getting?
What are you talking about? Bro, if anybody from
here...
If you
just said you made it to Jeopardy, I'd be impressed.
Nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear how smart you are.
Bro, I know you aren't impressed by a lot of things. And it's weird. Quick sidebar. Mm. I'm getting the impression you hate everybody that shows up on Jeopardy. That when you watch Jeopardy, you hate watch Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Well, I will tell you this. So my father used to watch Jeopardy all the time, and he thought he was a genius. He even bought the game board and all that stuff. And he sucked at it. Like, but he thought he was smart. My father always thought he was the smartest guy in the room.
Okay.
Even if he was proven wrong, he'd find a way to wiggle out of it.
Throwing out answers.
But yeah, he just ruined it.
Yeah, what's that guy like? What's that like? A guy named Mulay who, even when he's wrong, thinks he's right and tries to wriggle out of
who
it.
Who needs it?
Burl Ives was a communist. Third Burl Ives reference today. Third one. 252-WCMF-252-9263. I mean, look, there are folks who have been successful on Jeopardy that have turned just their appearance on that show into legitimate businesses that pay them for the rest of their
but
lives.
But you have to be so good. Like, those are the people that go on, like, month-long runs on the show, and then they get invited back for the other stuff that they do later on, like the All-Stars.
Well, the kid runs
it
now, right? They had the best run ever.
Yeah, the new host of the show, he was, at the time, like, the winningest contestant. Wasn't there a guy, the professional gambler? I think he overtook him.
Oh.
He's kind of a douche.
I think they've even had some other people since then.
I've got my daughter, my youngest, really into Jeopardy. We watch Jeopardy on a Sunday.
Well, she's a sharp kid.
Yes. Yes, but I do have fun dominating her. Because, you know, you got to let the kid
know
where they
stand. Well, every now and then, to your point, you get a category where you're like, wow, I'm a genius.
Yeah, but it's something you know, like, all your life.
I'm a really good Jeopardy player.
You just said that out loud?
Bro, I'm serious.
Everybody thinks that when they watch a show.
I'm telling you, if we all sat down and watched Jeopardy together, I think you'd all be impressed. My dream is to one day get on Jeopardy.
Why don't you try? Yeah. What's stopping you?
Go ahead, audition for it.
I'm afraid.
I think it's just online. Like, you start out doing those online quizzes or something.
Yeah, I got a buddy.
You get invited to some other stuff.
I got a buddy I actually just saw over the weekend. He's a PhD. He's a professor downstate. We grew up together in the same neighborhood. And he has tried to audition to get on Jeopardy multiple times. He's gotten to like the third round.
Because
there's like an online test and they bring you in to like take like a paper test and all this stuff. He still hasn't made it.
Oh.
And I know he's smarter than I am. So, like, if he one day breaks through, maybe I'll try. But until
you think you're smart as a guy with a PhD?
No, that's why I'm letting him get through first. If he's not smart enough to make it, I know I have no chance.
You ain't getting on, man.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because you don't know, like, fancy stuff.
No, I do. I don't know why.
But every now, like, you know how they'll go through the contestants and ask what they do for a living? I mean, it's not like it's only collegiate professors on the show. Like, some of these people have all range of jobs.
I don't know. I've never seen, like, you know.
Oh, no, there was one guy I saw. He was a barista and a nanny. And I'm not kidding you.
No, but that makes sense. Exactly. Like, he's one of those guys that knows a little bit of everything, but not a lot
about
one
thing. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't necessarily have to have this high-powered career or be a certain type of person to make it on.
Yeah, she's right.
I would love for you to go on. And the first category you got to do is Below Deck.
Why would they have a questions below, about below deck, deck? A reality show on Bravo?
Reality show and then jazz for $200. Like everything you hate, line up at once.
Why are you wishing me ill will? I would have taken you out to dinner with my Jeopardy.
No,
wins.
You wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't have, but I would tell you I would.
How far is $1,000 go in LA? Anyway?
Oh, no, I would have to win something. Do they cover you to fly out there, or does that come out of your grant?
No. You probably have to get out there yourself.
You could be losing money.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the other...
And I always wondered, too, if you're somebody that's on for, like, you know, 20 shows, you're going to run out of clothes. You're not serious. You only packed so much to go out there.
Well, I think that
they shoot them all in one day, don't they?
I think they
No, because they're always dressed differently.
I understand. You go change.
Yeah, but you'd run out of clothes.
No, I'm saying I think that you're only there for like maximum 2 or 3 days, and then you go home for a couple of weeks, and then you go back and do like 8 episodes in one day.
Okay.
And you just keep bringing change.
Yeah.
I'm out of clothes.
I'm serious.
Girl, you're the only girl that can run out of clothes.
Like, but you're dressed up. You're not. Like, those guys are in suits. Yes. You think that guy has 20 suits in his closet?
He's just changing the shirt.
No, he's not.
I got to watch.
Pay attention.
I got to watch.
I think, like, they have a wardrobe there that they could pick from.
Okay. Now Tommy's in. Ooh.
But I would think, like, you could probably just keep wearing the same suit. Change, like, to your point, change the tie.
I've never noticed on back-to-back
Trump
nights.
Wears the same suit every day.
And he did really well on
it. Yeah,
you're going to watch for it now.
252-WCMF, again, talking about this Henrietta resident. His name is David Bond. He will be on Jeopardy Thursday night. I'm super jealous. I kind of want to hang out with him.
Yeah? Do we see it Thursday night?
We will see it Thursday night.
He's already done it.
Yeah, we don't know how well he's done.
All right.
Are you sworn to secrecy?
Yes.
Like, do you sign
you can't
something?
Blow it.
Okay, I was just a husky.
I'm sure there's some contingency, right? Where, like, maybe they don't pay you until after your episode
Could
airs
be.
To ensure that you don't blow anything. All right, let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
I asked you if you would want to go on there, and you said no, because what if I know the answer and I freeze?
I know stuff.
Okay. Who knows more, you or your spouse? Let's say you
went to college.
All right, so one of you is going to go.
Yeah.
One of you is going to go, but you have a choice. Do you choose yourself or your partner to go? Keeping in mind that if they fail and embarrass themselves, it is your fault because you chose them.
Yeah, but how do I... So I get to choose.
It's your choice. They have no say. You or your wife, who goes?
Oh, I'm going to choose my wife.
Why?
Because I don't want to do it.
Wait, you would expose her to that embarrassment to save your own embarrassment?
She's going to go do it. She's a grown woman. She can make her own mind up.
But this is your chance to show off all your shackets and turtlenecks.
Oh, I forgot about that. I could do that from the audience.
Kimmy?
Yeah?
You have a choice to send you or your husband to Jeopardy, keeping in mind that if he fails and embarrasses himself, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Who do you send?
But he is somebody that has, like, a weird amount of knowledge on, like, you know, those strange categories.
Okay.
Because, like, he is somebody that'll shout stuff out when we're watching it. So I think I would trust him to do okay.
But because you legitimately believe he can do better than you, like Tommy, who just wants to avoid embarrassment and sacrifice his wife at the altar of embarrassment.
He's also, like, more... calm and cool under pressure, where I could also be that person that just forgets everything I'm going to say the second I hit the button.
Okay. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Let's talk to Bobby. Hey, Bobby. How are you, buddy?
Hey, man.
Yo.
You guys are missing a big opportunity.
What's that?
You could all apply for Celebrity Jeopardy, where they ask all the idiot questions. You would do fine.
All right, so all I have to do is work on becoming a celebrity.
Yeah, that's it.
Have you seen the celebrities on Jeopardy?
I actually have not. Well, I always turn off Celebrity
Jeopardy. I haven't watched
that in a while, yeah. Are they like low end?
You'd fit right in. They're very low end.
Thank you, Bobby.
All right,
thank
low end, you. Low end Celebrity Jeopardy.
Love you.
Love you too, Bobby. Have a good rest of the day.
I like that.
You know, can I tell you?
What?
Like, you know, we get some opportunities every once in a while to do things we normally wouldn't get to because of the jobs that we've had, right? Like, I've gotten to play in like charity hockey games with NHL players. It's super cool. I have always secretly hoped. They would do like a local Rochester busted-ass Celebrity Jeopardy.
I'm surprised they haven't.
They did a local Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Yeah, no, I don't want that one.
Well, to your point, if they did that, you would think the Jeopardy thing would be easier to pull off.
Because I would, I think I'd do well. And I want to go up against someone that like people think is like smart.
But there's some smart, I mean, we don't have any really smart celebrities.
We do have.
We do?
Yeah.
Smart local celebrity.
Sure.
Who?
They're
all dopes.
That's why nobody talks to us.
They're all dopes?
Give me a local smart
Any
celebrity.
Writer?
That's
Any
not a celebrity.
Writer?
People Wait, we have paper? On when you're gone on vacation.
Not some paper dick. I'm talking about a celebrity.
You don't think like Adam Chodak from News 8 is smart?
He is smart.
Ah, there you go.
But his mother, wasn't his mother a teacher?
Okay.
Well, that helps.
Yeah, what's your...
Well, you know, doing the work and everything.
Doing the work and everything. This man...
But what if he got, like, a murderous row of, like, dumbass?
Like, no,
like us?
Not asking. Don't you dare say a word. What? I don't feel like answering those emails and dealing with those phone calls.
They know who they are. Every celebrity dumbass in this town knows who they
are. You don't! You are the biggest celebrity dumbass, and you're not even a celebrity. You're just a dumbass. Straight up, uncut, pure Colombian dumbass. Let me ask you this, smart guy.
Yeah, talking a lot of junk.
Let's say they line you and I up in local busted celebrity Jeopardy. Who wins?
What do you mean, who wins what?
You, me, Kimmy, who wins?
We're playing Jeopardy.
All three of us, local busted-ass celebrity Jeopardy.
I think I got a good shot. First of all, I've been around longer.
You just make stuff up.
Yes, but I also know stuff.
I would dominate you so hard.
No, you wouldn't.
Bro, come on.
You only know dumb stuff.
What? Talking about
like sabers and
sabers.
Well, that's the thing. Pat does have the sports category over you. So if you run into one of those,
but I know half of that. Now for him,
you don't know nothing.
He's run his mouth so much, I know it by osmosis.
Who's the backup quarterback for the Bills right now?
Oh, Mitch.
Mitch what?
Trubisky.
Damn it! And you said it wrong, but we'll give it to you.
See, I already won.
I just wanted to say
go
no.
home.
I wanted to say no, rudely.
I just take your $1,000 and get the hell out of here.
Whoever is listening, please set up a local celebrity Jeopardy so I could run his ass over. Please,
and
God.
Kimmy will probably be the surprise winner anyway.
No,
well, I know weird stuff. I don't know.
Kimmy's...
Like, you know what I'm really good at? I figured out weird animal facts.
Okay.
Didn't why? You
I don't know. It just comes to me. I'm like, why do I know so much about nature?
Okay. See, here's the thing about Kimmy.
She doesn't know old stuff.
She didn't know who Khrushchev was this morning.
Yes, I did.
I would sweep the Khrushchev cat. Who's Khrushchev?
The Russian guy.
The Russian guy.
We already went over this.
No.
But she doesn't even know like a lot of old sports stuff, like we'll bring up.
Okay, you keep bringing up sports. Sports almost never shows up because when it does, that's the category that ends up on
Everybody
social media.
Just stares like deer in headlights.
Major League Baseball hit king. No, like Kimmy is a lot like my wife, where Kimmy is very, very smart.
Mm.
But like just like common sense stuff that you think everybody knows, all of a sudden Kimmy has no idea what it is. Like Kimmy is by far the smartest person in this room, but if you ask her who Khrushchev is, she can't tell.
Well, stuff I vaguely remember. It wasn't like so interesting to me that it's that's what you guys focused on.
Stupid stuff?
Not stupid stuff. It's not stupid. It's just like I enjoyed other things in school. It stuck more.
No, but like it drives me nuts with my wife too because my wife is a brilliant woman.
Oh, yeah. She's
like,
a doctor.
I will stand back and I'll watch her work on like medical stuff and like the words that comes out of her mouth and the stuff
Didn't
she's
able to. Didn't she like write a book?
Yeah, she's published a couple of things. It's astonishing.
Wow.
Right? That being said,
yeah.
The stuff she does not know because she spent her entire life
she was focused.
Filling her brain with like medical stuff. And that goes back to the argument of just because someone's smart doesn't mean they're good at Jeopardy.
Okay. But.
Okay. Please. God, what I would give. Rub your stupid giant forehead. Because here's, I know you too. You would panic. Like I'd start getting questions right. And you would feel like you'd have to
get
in.
I like how you already think you're winning a game. You haven't even started.
In my head, I'm winning my fantasy Jeopardy game. I would start doing well. And then you would feel like you'd have to get in. And you just buzz questions. Not knowing the answer, and you embarrass yourself and look stupid. All right, let's take a break. You think you have this unique, vintage, super cool piece that all of your guests are jealous of.
Wow.
Right? And, Kimmy, this has become way more popular for women your age, younger millennials and Gen Zers, to go to these antique stores and thrift shops and pick up this stuff that...
Quality stuff that people have just tossed.
Exactly. Yeah. But it turns out some of you folks were eating gravy this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, what's going on with the gravy?
You're hanging out in the break room. It's just Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So, the gravy boat has made a comeback.
Yeah, I thought it would be done.
Well, you know how everything goes, like in and out, popular. Yeah.
It's like one thing you use once a year.
Yeah,
yeah,
much.
Twice if you have Christmas dinner.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. So they've become so popular, the Buffalo Sabres gave away a Zamboni gravy boat the night before Thanksgiving. They are going for over $100 on eBay, and I desperately want one. So if you got one, let's talk turkey.
Right.
At Duffy at WCMF on Twitter and Instagram at Duffy at WCMF. But this is not a plea for me to give you for you to give me a Zamboni gravy boat.
Yeah,
kind of that. It turns out that a lot of people over the holiday weekend had vintage gravy boats on their table that weren't actually gravy boats.
What are you talking about?
So back in the day, there was an item known as a Bordaloo.
Oh.
Now, when you say back in the day, how far back are we going?
We're talking late 1800s into the early 19th.
A Bordaloo?
Bordaloo, maybe?
Bordaloo?
Bordaloo?
I have to go to the loo.
It is a specially designed ceramic pot.
Yeah.
That
almost like a chamber pot.
Yep, that fits over a woman's genitals so she could pee and do other things without having to leave the house in the middle of the night.
So she put that up against her...
And would do her business.
Okay. And then ladle it out. And
I thought you were going to say it was...
I know some guys that are into that. Oh, yeah. He'd be the first one in line, bro.
I thought you were going to say it was one of those... Like neti pots, you ever
nope.
heard of those where it goes
yep.
up your nostril and out the other side? But that's kind of shaped like
you're right.
a gravy boat.
Nope, this is
so
this is
I didn't think it would be worse.
That.
Yeah, this
okay.
is much
okay.
worse. It's pee and possibly right. poo.
So that's how it started out?
No,
somebody said, man, I would put gravy in that.
It's not what I'm saying.
All right.
The gravy
two
boat,
separate things.
Yes, it's always been its own separate yeah. thing. What folks have been finding, antique folks who know,
yeah,
looking at pictures of people's Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Is that folks have been unknowingly buying these old chamber pots for women.
Okay. I can't believe those are still around to even purchase.
Well, I mean, Kenny,
like antique stores, yeah.
And things like, you know, thrift stores. Somebody dies that had something passed down. You know, some of those dishes and silverware can get passed down generations and generations and generations.
Right.
People were serving gravy out of your great-grandma's dump bucket.
Yeah, her lady gravy.
Duh! And, like, there's pictures in this article, examples where it's, like, circled, and they're explaining why this thing full of gravy was actually a toilet for your 1920s grandma.
Ooh.
It had to be pretty large then.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Because you don't, I mean, it
well, no, I
can't
mean,
overflow.
Women's genitals back in the day, much smaller than they are now.
People were smaller.
That's what I'm
saying. No, I mean, but if you're going to the bathroom in it.
Well, you got to remember, it was also around the Great Depression, so you weren't really going to the bathroom all
the time. Yeah, nobody was eating and drinking like we do now.
You can't
nobody's walking around with, you know, Stanley mugs and, you know, water bottles. Poor people, they drank out of the brook.
Stanley mugs and water bottle. So there's now a whole series on TikTok called Gravy Boat or Urinal, where people are sending their gravy boats in, their antique gravy boats, to see if somebody took a pee or a dump in it.
Do they look that similar?
Yes.
Oh.
So like when you know what to look for, it's kind of easy to tell.
So they're that fancy.
Well, I mean, everything was fancy.
Yeah, everything was kind of ornate back then.
You know what I'm saying? But like, I guess when you... The big tell is the rounder it is like a toilet, the more likely it was used as a urinal.
Yeah, but that some bitch could hold some gravy.
Let me ask you a question.
Right,
if you went to a Thanksgiving, a family Thanksgiving, and found out a month later that you poured gravy out of your great-grandmother's pee bucket, would you be upset with that relative?
It would almost... That's some of like... It's almost like incest.
Well, no, it's her urine. It's not.
Yeah, it's been like, washed.
But it's like you had your mouth on your great granny.
No.
It kind of is.
I mean, it kind of is a little bit.
But you're at least you're not drinking the gravy out of the thing.
No, but there's like
you're
granny,
pouring it.
No, isn't there always like granny molecules would be in there still?
Monocules or molecules. Hey, remember when this guy said he beat me in Jeopardy and then said the word monocule?
I think. Would I be pissed?
Would you be upset? Would it bother you?
If I found out after the fact?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would gross me out, man.
Would you go back for Thanksgiving the next year?
No.
would you tell them?
Or that I'm upset?
Like, let's say you found out, like, later you saw this, and you're like, oh, my God, they had it on their table. Would you tell the host that that's not a gravy boat?
I'm doing a whole set on this disgusting thing.
You'd have to tell them.
Yeah.
You'd have to tell them.
I'm a raggle, man.
All right, so, Kimmy, your argument is once it's washed, there's nothing to worry about.
I mean... It doesn't. I would prefer it not to be that, but I would think over the years, like the thing's been washed multiple times,
and
they've used it for serving other things.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So let's say you know you do this show, talking for all day makes you parch. You need to drink every once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's say I got my water bottle here.
Yeah.
Right. I'm watching.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a couple months ago during the show, we got stuck. When we get stuck on the air with no breaks, had to pee into my water bottle.
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
So then I washed it out. It's been months now. Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
No water available upstairs.
Yeah.
Vending machine's not working. 3.5 hours into the show. You drinking out of this?
Nope.
Okay, so what's the difference?
Yeah, because you can put a face to your
Your great-grandmother's picture may be hanging over.
I've seen the way you wash things over there. I wouldn't drink out of your water bottle now.
I wouldn't. Well, you're not invited. I guess what I'm saying is you cannot think of a single person who could pee into a cup and you'd be like, I'll wash it.
Like going into it knowing.
I mean, I guess because it's so ancient.
Yeah.
It may not body as much.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it. You put forks in your mouth.
I'm probably more worried about the lead in the thing.
Yeah, it's a good point.
With the lead in the pee.
What that's made out of.
There probably was lead in the pee.
Oh, you know there was.
No, but I love how you're like, you put forks in your mouth. Yeah. You know, you don't put it on your genitals.
Let me ask you this. Let's say you had one of these boats.
Okay, so it's a gravy boat that was actually a chamber pot
right.
back. Okay, yeah.
But let's say it was somebody famous historically. Historical chamber pot.
Give me an example.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
So I have Eleanor Roosevelt's chamber pot, but it can also be used as a gravy.
And it's got the White House insignia on it, the whole thing.
No, I'm not going to serve gravy knowing that Eleanor Roosevelt took a leak in it.
How about if it was, I got one for you. And famous woman,
yeah.
good looking,
okay,
fashion plate, Jackie O.
Why would her being good looking change the opinion?
Kind of
no,
well, because like
you creep. I now you're being this guy.
Jackie O or Eleanor?
No, I have to choose one.
Yeah, you going Jackie O?
No, I'm going Eleanor because it's longer ago, less monocules.
Yeah,
yeah, but hotter.
More time for that to
hotter
get
cooch on
out.
The pot.
Why would hot matter?
Yeah, this is getting weird.
Because I think I would go Jackie O.
You didn't answer the question. No. We asked why would hot matter, and you go, I think I would go Jackie O.
If I had to do it, I'd rather have an attractive person's chamber pot.
Why?
Right? Because that image. You know.
No, I don't. I don't know.
I don't know either.
So why did you say it's stupid?
Because I'd rather have an attractive
also, why is Jackie O, who's alive in the 60s, taking a leak in a?
JFK was kind of into it.
Shut up. Sounds like you're
hey, kidding. Jackie, why don't you go use that chamber pot?
Last night, I was using the chamber pot with the president while he enjoyed a delicious scotch and soda.
Remember when Nixon found Jackie O's chamber pot in the White House when they moved in? You remember that?
I walked in, I said, Pat, I got a chamber pot here. It kind of smells attractive. I didn't know I was into it.
Remember when JFK gave that famous speech about how Jackie had to get rid of her chamber pot before 1970?
I say by the end of this century, we will do away with chamber pots. Not because they're hard, because it's kind of hard to watch.
Remember when Cher was a guest at the White House and she stumbled upon Jackie O's chamber pot?
Oh, I really like this chamber pot. Oh, this delicious gravy. I'm going to put it on all my sandwiches.
And that's all he's good for. And we're out of his presence.
Yeah. He's out of breath.
Good. I hope he's dying.